All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast, Thursday, October 4th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Oh, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, but you know to type in less keys in your keypad with DFSR.com. You don't want to type in all those words. That was good for SEO, but now we just shortened it.
What are you sitting there just trying to give yourself carpal tunnel typing in our original?
What are you crazy? What are you just like Ernest Hemingway writing a whole book into the URL thing? No, DFSR.com is what you type in. DFSR.com/deals will get you you podcast listeners $5 off per month on our premium subscription packages, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, obviously. NBA preseason, we have preseason stuff going up there. Not to the typical thing that we would do for the regular season for NBA, but we still have projections up there if you're playing those preseason slates. MLB, while the playoffs still go on, hockey-based projections, Optimizer, really close to getting online there. It's all covered in the one subscription package, free for 3 days. And then for you podcast listeners, $24.95 a month, and you are all good to go. Premium chat, oh, too many things to list. Anyway, go over to dfsr.com/deals. It'll get you that. It'll get you that subscription. You'll be good to go. All right, buddy.
And a free 3-day trial. I don't know if you mentioned the trial.
There's too many things to mention. 3-day trial, premium articles. I can't handle all. It's insane. A small shop and we cover so much.
Are we crazy? Are we crazy for giving this much away? I'm rethinking things now.
Don't start doing that because I'll start doing less. All right. So, week 5 cash game article, went up the other day. I think it's one of those weeks where, you know, we're going to talk some cash game plays. And I think when we get into the game by game breakdown for next week, game-by-game breakdown tomorrow, which is usually our big mega podcast where we go through every game and slate. I think we're actually going to mention even more guys as cash game plays. This is a week where I do see lots of options for cash, specifically at wide receiver. I think there's going to be lots of different ways you can go. Mm-hmm. I think this is a week where you're going to see ownership really spread out at wide receiver. We can talk about why. Maybe not as much at running back, just because, and for the reason we're going to talk about as well. But I think this is a week where I can – you know, you and I talked offline when we were writing up this article, and we really could have made cases for like 10 different wide receivers here. You know, the cases get stronger and weaker as you get down the list, but the fact that there was even that many to choose from, I think, really speaks to what will be happening throughout the industry. I mean, I'll break down some of the quarterbacks here, but when you looked at this list, when you look at the list of how we're kind of breaking down cash, are you feeling like this is a week where we could see some more spread out ownership? Because we have seen some pretty major chalk weeks so far.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was looking at wide receiver pretty closely going into this week, and this was actually the first week. You know, we've been kind of running on this really, I don't know, a wild ride of having these really cheap, great wide receiver plays seemingly every single week. But, you know, as the consistent plays get kind of sussed out as time goes along, you know, a lot of these guys' prices have gone up. One of the things I'm going to look at this week for my premium article over at dfsr.com is, you know, highlighting players whose prices have changed dramatically over the season. And there's just no shortage of receivers who've become a lot more expensive than they were earlier in the season. And as you tighten things up, you tend to have more variability around the acceptable plays. So yeah, I think we'll see. I mean, ultimately, I think there will still be a few chalk plays, especially on the higher end, but in terms of that middle end, I could see the middle ground, I could see people going in a bunch of different directions. So that being said, I mean, starting at quarterback, we have seen somewhat of chalk ownership over the last few weeks. Like last week, people were kind of split. Watson, I think, wound up being the highest owned cash game quarterback, but that was only at like 32%. Are you seeing quarterback being pretty, you know, differentiated this week? Are you seeing anyone rising to the top as potential chalk? What are you seeing at QB right now?
Okay, so I'm going to caveat this by saying, you know, we wrote this up, and then one thing that kind of happens over the course of the week is we start ingesting more and more data into our system as time goes by, right? So we we'll start with a baseline, and then, you know, some more advanced stats don't come out right away that we kind of put in. And so things kind of trickle in over the course of the week.
So give me who's good now. Don't worry about the article. Like, you know, if you want to read the DFSR cash game article, you can go over there and check it out.
I think all these guys are good. Okay. I'm going to start off by, I start off with Cam Newton. And I think that Cam, there's a lot of reasons I like him. And I'm going to actually just cover two birds with one stone here with Cam. I think that from a cash game perspective, pairing Cam and Christian McCaffrey together, so I'm bearing the lead on running back here a little bit, gives you such a pretty high floor for cash purposes because of the way the Panthers run their offense, which is to say those two guys kind of do everything, right? And so when they go into the fact that how much McCaffrey is catching the ball this season, how much Cam is running the ball, especially in the red zone, that covers, if you play Cam and McCaffrey together, you are covering all of their red zone touches. More from Newton, obviously, but like McCaffrey is still getting touches down and close as well. He just hasn't scored. He's touched the ball an insane amount for having not scored a touchdown. Again, he's not going to get the ball at the 1 yard line because they'll run Cam down there. But the fact that how many times he's touched and not scored yet, he's just going to score a touchdown at some point. I'm not saying like this is going to be the week. This isn't gambler's fallacy where he's due, but it doesn't stand to reason that the guy's going to touch the ball 20 times a game and eventually just not break the last tackle and score, right? So I think from that point, you're getting a team that is going to play a Giants squad who stinks. Their defense is bad. The Panthers have a 26 implied total. They're -7 home favorites. You're getting a pretty steep concentration or a close concentration on all of their upside. And the other thing that I love about it, they're 2 weeks rested. Like, they're off the bye week. And so that does matter in the NFL. That extra week of rest, that extra week of knowing who your opponent's going to be. Giants did play a late Sunday game, where we went later into the day. And then now they go on the road to Carolina. I think all these things line up. The pairing Cam and McCaffrey together gives you such a high floor in cash, because if 26 is the total, where else is that scoring going to go except for those two guys? We can wake up McCaffrey. Just assume I'm going to talk about. I talked about him at running back as well. I really like pairing those two guys in cash.
Yeah, Newton's a funny one because, like, high floor is not a term that a lot of people use when it comes to Cam Newton, because, you'll see the games, like, two games this season, two out of his three games, he has 161 passing yards or less. Now, of course, you get points for things beyond passing yards, and the fact that he's been automatic, I can't quickly and dirtily average out the points coming from running this season, because he just scores so many of them. He's got 18 points from rushing touchdowns. He's got another 14 points, so 32 points across three games on the ground. That's insane. That's, a mid-tier running back who passes occasionally too. So I think that makes sense. I think it won't feel that way if you're punching it in come game time. But yeah, I think turning your eye to the 26 total and spreading it out mostly among those two guys kind of makes sense. But if we don't feel comfortable with Cam, or if there's a different direction we want to go, if we do see him as a guy who could, the lights could go out on him if he doesn't get the rushing touchdowns or whatever, who are some other guys we can consider?
I wrote up Andy Dalton. I do like I was writing him up when I thought that they were going to be a little thinner at running back, when I thought that Mixon might not play and Gio was hurt, and I was thinking they had to pass. I'm prepared to pivot off this one because I'm going to put he and Bortles together in this price tier. I did not write up Bortles, but I think that we can include him in this, because now I'm specifically speaking about a cash game price tier, which is in DraftKings leads to this mid 5,000s, a little less than six. Dalton's 59, Bortles is 55. I think both of them check pretty good boxes in terms of Dalton has a good matchup. Cincinnati's been scoring a ton of points this year. He's finally had basically a full complement of wide receivers, something that he hasn't. It's like the same thing you could say for Joe Flacco. It's like, hey, dude, look what happens when you actually get three competent wide receivers running around. These guys end up being kind of good. It's not like a situation before. It's like, well, we'll double team AJ Green, and you can huck the ball to whoever you want after that. They do lose Eifert, which hurts a little bit. Getting Mixon back would cloud it a little bit in terms of how much they want to run, although getting running backs back from injury is something that I'm always a little hesitant about what the plan is. So Dalton, I can make a really compelling case for Dalton just in terms of how much they've been passing and scoring this season. I can do the same for Bortles. I think that Jacksonville has shown that when they do not have Leonard Fournette around, that they are just more willing to throw the ball with Bortles, and he's almost definitely going to be playing from behind against KC. And if not from behind, they're going to have to just know they have to keep scoring because Kansas City has such a good offense. Bortles at 5,500. After ingesting more numbers, I probably would have written Bortles up over Dalton is what I'm thinking. I mean, could you stomach a $5,500 Blake Bortles knowing that this KC defense has been an absolute sieve this year?
I think I could. One of the things that comes this season with a lot has been made about all the wide receivers, being targeted a bunch of times, how we're seeing these potentially huge record breaking wide receiver seasons. Obviously someone has to be throwing those players the ball too. And while I think there's a little bit more efficiency around the high end in terms of the quarterbacks, there's just a lot of expensive quarterbacks that you can pick from, and most of those are good plays. There's still some of this mid-tier value that we can tap into. And I think Dalton and Bortles certainly check that box for me.
Yeah, and like so, I said, I'm going to go into this week where we can just talk about this more on the game by game podcast. But there's a pretty long list of guys I can make a case for. I did write up Roethlisberger as well, just because of how much
it's hard not to.
But yeah, he's been passing so much. He's the same price as Cam. I think I'd probably rather play Newton only because I just do like that pairing of he and McCaffrey. I don't know if that's a correct line of thinking or not. They are the same price, like I said, on FanDuel. DraftKings, there's a slight difference in them. Yeah, that's right. Roethlisberger is 500 more, so I think I much prefer Cam from a points per dollar basis there. But I could have written up Wentz, I think. I could have written up Rodgers. Matt Ryan you can make a case for. There's a pretty long list of guys that you can make a case for from quarterback. So I think that we will see some concentrate. Obviously, we will see some spread out ownership this week because it only takes a decimal point or two to have, you know, Wentz be your guy other than, I don't know, Bortles or something like that. And I think that if you're sure in everyone's projection systems, it's just going to be obviously a little bit different. It's never going to deviate too much, but those little, at this point with the pricing and where some of the matchups this week, I could see, you know, if you could have Wentz for a few more points than Bortles, or you could go the other way also. So I think that's where we're going to see ownership maybe spread out.
I think if you're deciding between Roethlisberger and Cam, I just want to jump in. The total on that Atlanta Pittsburgh game is so high, and the Pittsburgh passing offense has been so flashy. And you know, two of the guys I read up there were Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, both of whom are averaging double digit targets a game. In fact, they're the second and most third targeted receivers on the season, and they're on the same team. Connor has been very underwhelming on a per carry basis in the last three games too. 8 for 17 against Kansas City, 15 for 61 against Tampa Bay, 9 for 19 against Baltimore. I think they're going to be leaning even more heavily on the pass here, particularly because Atlanta can put points up on the board as well. And, you know, right now our system favors Roethlisberger by 1.5 over Newton. I have a hard time seeing that change before game time. So I'll take Roethlisberger on that side of the equation. I don't think you want to get too carried away, trying to pair Newton and McCaffrey, also just because the Steelers have a higher total, and you could argue that Ben is more likely to be a part of every single touchdown than almost any quarterback in the NFL right now with how poorly Connor's been performing. So, I think I'll take the Ben side of that, but understand if people would want to pivot.
By the way, that 57.5 over, which it's up to, it started at 56.5, is up a full point, coming up equally on both sides. That is, there's been like, I looked it up, I queried it the other day, there was like four total games over the last 4 years that had a total this high in the NFL. Not to say the implied totals couldn't be this high on one side of the equation, but to have it just be so high, spread pretty evenly between both teams is just not, and I think we're just going to continue seeing more and more of this as the way the NFL just shifts more toward the pass when these teams, you know, when the Kansas City plays Pittsburgh or when, you know, New Orleans plays Atlanta, as we keep going up and up and up with how much these teams are passing. The Rams playing anybody good going forward, although their defense is so good, maybe not. But these totals are just getting completely out of sync. Insane. So I think I am with you. It's a pretty solid case for Roethlisberger. I get a little worried about Connor, a bounce back game from Connor, even though some of the stats don't really show that's going to happen. I'm with you.
Maybe it couldn't. I just don't think. I don't think you like. There's no evidence for me to suggest that it will. And so I'll just go with what I'm seeing right now, which is the Steelers moving away from the run. Even like, you know, Connor, he's been heavily featured in the passing game as well, averaging 6 targets a game there. So if they're finding that it's not working on the ground, but it is kind of working through the air, I could see them pushing in that direction. So anyway, while we're on the subject of running backs, let's slide over and talk about some of the guys you wrote up here. You mentioned McCaffrey already. I think his usage across all facets of the game makes him a really solid play, but I'm also seeing some other familiar names here. I think when we spoke earlier this week, you were having a difficult time at running back. Are you still feeling that way? Or
I was only having
it crystallize a little bit.
It was only the third running back I was having difficulty with. The first one, Gurley and McCaffrey, I thought were pretty easy for me. There was really no question in my mind whether those two guys were going to be 1 and 2. It was really the third one, which we'll get to in a second. But Gurley, when we talk about elite usage guys, there's very few of them on the slate. I would say there's really only 4, and I don't want to play Barkley because he's an underdog, and I'm going to get to one of the other ones. And I don't want to play, who's the other one? Oh, David Johnson. He's not actually one of them. So it's Gurley, McCaffrey, and Melvin Gordon are the three guys that I think you can put in that elite group. And I'm still just worried that the Chargers still want to give – Gordon's good, but Austin Eckler is still around, and they give him touches. And that just has me always just a little worried on him. So I think Gurley – to me, at least on FanDuel, where the price has just not come up to commiserate to what he does on a week-to-week basis, At 9,000? Yeah, he's 9,100. I think he makes for a pretty easy chalk play against Seattle. Seattle stinks. Some people might have it in their minds that, oh, Seattle of old and, you know, what their defense used to be. This team is just not that good anymore. Their offense really can't stay on the field. I know the Seattle DVOA defense looks okay. They have not really played anybody so far this year. Like, they played the Cardinals. I think they played the 49ers. I think that was a game that Jimmy G got hurt. So this is just not a very good. It's just not a very good team at all. They just lost Earl Thomas for the season, who's easily their best defender. I think Gurley is I know it's a road favorite, but when we looked at home and road running back carries as big favorites, it didn't really matter too much if they were on the. It's really the spread is the only thing that mattered, not whether or not they were at home or away. So -7 favorites. To me, I think the Rams covered that pretty easily. They've just been pulling teams out. I think Gurley makes for a chalk play. It's a little harder on DraftKings where he's 9,400 and you can maybe get an $800 savings and go down to Gordon. That one gets a little bit closer. Is that a compelling enough? Do you think Gordon is worth the savings over Gurley? This one is maybe a little closer than I thought it was going to be originally, and I still just think there's so much safety and how the Rams use Gurley.
Yeah, no, I think you have enough value at the wide receiver position that you don't need to be sticking your neck out on going away from Gurley.
Right.
I think, you know, as I broke this down a couple weeks ago, but the trend has continued where Gurley is just basically the only running back in the NFL right now who's just like clockwork checking in on 20 plus touches a game. I think the Rams, given that they're just so damn good, they're going to be up in a ton of games too. And when they're up, we know what the plan is to give it to Gurley unless the game gets fully out of hand, in which case he'll still have like mid-20s targets or touches during the game. We've seen with Gordon, the usage can be there. I think he's a very attractive big tournament play for that reason. I mean, we saw what he was capable of last week, putting up 104 yards on just 15 carries and set 55 receiving yards with a touch on 10 targets. So the upside is there, but you can also get weeks like he had against Buffalo where he only had 15 total touches, 17 total touches the next week against the Rams. We're not seeing right now that Gurley... That's ever in the game script for Gurley, and paying the extra few hundred bucks seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, they're targeting Gordon a ton in the passing game. That's like replaced some of his rushing attempts, and he's had three of his four games have been over 30 DraftKings points. So it's not like he's been awesome. I could see him having slightly higher ownership than Gurley in this week because they do get a good matchup against the Raiders. They are favorites here. They're -5 home favorites, so that does check that box. Raiders are also a pretty bad team. And Gordon is just cheaper on DraftKings, so I think that ends up becoming pretty close, and I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, an extra carry here or there is all that it takes. So I think those guys are a little closer. I'm easily doing it on FanDuel. Now, the third guy, because we mentioned McCaffrey before, I really struggle with this. We try to write up at least three guys per position that we feel are cash game viable, because that's, you know, especially with the flex, you're going to need to get in there. I had trouble here. It's so easy to make cases.
I know, you sent me frantic texts.
I just didn't even know like who to write up.
I could publish this week.
The problem is, and we'll talk more about this, is on the game by game, running back after this top tier is just one big damn question mark. Like, there's guys who... So the problem is that there's some guys who all they basically do is run the ball. They never catch. That's like the Carlos Hydes, sort of the Marshawn Lynches of the world, Kareem Hunt. You know, they're never going to catch a ball. There's the inconsistent guys, like you mentioned, James Conner, Saquon Barkley, David Johnson's team is horrible. And then there's just the full running back by committee guys, like the Tennessee guys, the Miami hasn't just given the ball to Drake, San Francisco, Baltimore. There's just teams that just don't have a running back. I landed on TJ Yeldon. I don't love it. If we hadn't set this sort of strict, we must write at least three guys up rule, I probably would have left it at two and just called it a day. Because I just don't really love what we're seeing here. The case I made for Yeldon is that there's no Fournette. He has been very effective in the passing game as a receiving running back. They will give him touches if they do feel like the game script is going in their direction. Like he touched the ball something like 17 times last week or something like that in the running game. And it does stand to reason that they're going to get a lot of possessions in this game because of the way Kansas City plays. Now, they'll get less because Jacksonville defense is good, but comparatively to who Jacksonville...
Kansas City's still going to pass, right?
Exactly.
And Kansas City will especially pass if they're down. It'll be interesting to see if Bowie and Ramsey can kind of shut down that Kansas City passing attack that no one's really been able to yet, although the best effort was probably made last week. I could see Yeldon... Also, Jacksonville's going to have an incentive to keep that Kansas City offense off the field, so... I could see him being a pretty solid play. I guess the real question is, like, right now, our system is also sussing out lineups that will allow you to go triple expensive running back, which I don't think we've ever seen before, where, you know, maybe you go Gurley, Gordon, and McCaffrey and middle out the wide receiver position, which has you know, some amount of like kind of no brain value right now. Like, you know, guys like Julian Edelman that probably will be heavily.
Well, he's on tonight. Prices. He plays tonight. So,
Oh, that's what I'm sorry. Looking at Thursday line. But guys that, that are still, there's enough target share to go around this season that there's still guys who could get, like, there's lineups right now that we have that have Antonio Brown and Gurley and McCaffrey and Gordon, like with these really cheap options elsewhere and really cheap tight ends. So, I think that'll ultimately be the big question. Like, is, do you want a somewhat speculative play in Yeldon at 6,500, or do you want to roll the dice on some of these mid-tier wide receivers? And I think that will be, that will be the interesting question, actually. So let's move over to
Let me say one more thing about Yeldon. Yeldon is a guy that right now is not really showing up too much for us on FanDuel, is showing up on DraftKings because of the passing stuff, and he's only 5,600 there. So I think if I'm going to make a distinction about cash games, just only because you mentioned the FanDuel thing, I'm going to just shift it over and say a DraftKings, I think the hedge would be Yeldon there because he's so much cheaper than, you know, where Gordon is so expensive relative to the field. Expensive relative to the field, and with the 1 point PPR, I think Yeldon makes for a much better deal on DraftKings. All right, yeah. Would you want to move into wide receiver?
Yeah, I think so. So one guy that we're still not clear on right now, but I'm going to guess he'll probably miss the game, is Geronimo Allison. And actually, you know, I wrote up the Green Bay situation as a whole for the Cash Game article this week, talking about the fact that Cobb wound up revealing that he was even further away than it seemed like he would be. Like, he was kind of framed as this game time decision, and he came out and said he was nowhere near playing. We played Devontae Adams. He got a lot of targets, wasn't that amazing. People looked at Geronimo Allison. Allison wound up leaving the game with a concussion and did not practice on Wednesday. So my suspicion would be that Allison will wind up missing this game as well. That's going to leave a lot of targets on the table in Green Bay. Right now, I think people are moving Marquez Valdes-Scantling up the charts. Jimmy Graham is another guy that people are speculating will pick up some of those targets. Do you have any sense for this Green Bay passing attack right now? Because it seems like one way or the other, you know, they're another one of these teams where there's going to be a lot of targets to go around. And they've been so heavily concentrated into the hands of just a few guys that it's hard to believe that there's not somebody that's cheap out there that's just going to step into this role and be able to do something.
Yeah, this one's a weird one. And I thought a lot about this as well. I agree with you. I do not think Allison and Cobb are going to play. Allison, as of Thursday morning, cannot clear concussion protocol. So he basically has 24 hours to clear. I think that he needs to clear by Friday afternoon. And that hit on him came so late in the game. He had already had 11 targets at that point. And Devontae Adams had 14 targets. After that, these guys, I mean, Valdez had 3 targets. Graham had 6. Ty Montgomery had 3, and then Lance Kendricks and Aaron Jones. Like, that target concentration is so high. I've mentioned this in the Jimmy Graham write-up because I wrote him up at tight end. We have seen just time and time again, if there's no more personnel independent quarterback, I don't think, in the league than Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers has had the ability to take just about anybody and make them a good wide receiver, which is is nuts. At some point, you're really going to push the personnel thing to its limit when you're bringing basically practice squad guys up to start. And so at some point, the talent will not be there. I will have to really see who's planning on starting. I think the idea would be with Valdez. Who knows if they end up moving like Ty Montgomery back into like a slot receiver kind of role, because he has played wide receiver in the past. Now they have Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones back completely for the run game. Will they move Ty just back as a wide receiver where he's been moderately effective in the past? I don't know. He still qualifies as running back.
He was a wide receiver, right?
Yes, only last year they kind of emergency made him a running back because they ran out of that position. So at some point they move him back. I'm not sure. I don't know if like he's, you know, I don't know. This is all just a big question mark. I think one reason I'm really pretty bullish on Adams in this case is that Detroit has one great cornerback in Slay and two two not highly rated cornerbacks in Lawson and Agnew. Slay does not cover shadow and lines up primarily on the side. He lines up primarily, according to the Pro Football Focus here, 71% on the left side. And Adams, they move kind of all around, specifically and more on the offensive side, left side of the field, which is to say, he does not spend any time. If they continue to run the same scheme, he will not match up with Slay almost at all in this game. And so I think that's a really big point in his favor. I think that this is probably a situation where stacking, and again, I think this is a strategy you can use, stacking the Green Bay passing attack with some of the cheaper options and Adams gives you a high floor. Like, if you think that like Valdez just is the guy now, right? He's going to get Geronimo Allison's 11 targets, let's say. think that for the minimum, you could probably stomach that and know you're going to get a pretty heavy target share out of the two guys, even all three with Graham. I don't know. Does that make sense? I think that stacking in cash for some of these teams is becoming more and more viable strategy for me, just the way some of these teams just kind of use personnel.
Well, certainly is when guys get cheap.
Yes.
The only time it can wind up hurting you is that if one guy is chalk and the other guy isn't, and you play both and the chalk guy is great, then you can screw yourself that way. Mm-hmm. Like, so sure, you get all the production from that position, but so does everybody else.
Yep.
And I think you'll have to keep your eye on that situation to figure out, if that's the direction that things wind up heading. I think Montgomery is like such an interesting play, you know, understanding that he qualifies at running back, but the fact that he was already getting, like, I think he was the third most targeted person last week. Even with Allison playing.
It was only three targets. It was only three targets.
That was the third most targeted player.
No,
this is my
no,
point.
No, it was Graham was the third most. It was Adams.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Adams, Allison, Graham, and then he and Valdez. I'm shortening Valdez.
Both had three. Right, I'm sorry. I glossed over Graham because he was the tight end play.
Yep.
But yes, still, though, he's been excellent on the targets that have been thrown his way. 7 in the prior game, 6 catches for 49 yards. So anyway, I think he's one to keep an eye on because Green Bay is going to keep passing the ball, and he's very cheap, and running back or slash flex is a little bit thin right now. So anyway, I think we've
broken that down. By the way, $3,800 for him on DraftKings, where you could play him in the flex. If you thought that if they came out with any news that he was going to be like the third wide receiver, again, I'm totally speculating here, but if there's any news on that at like 7 targets or something like that for Ty Montgomery, that'd be pretty much a cash game lock for me at $3,800. Anyway, should we move into, you wrote up a couple of these Pittsburgh guys. I think like where, you know, give me your opinion here because you wrote Juju Smith and Antonio Brown. This would not be a case where I think I'd want to cash stack these two guys. One, it's very expensive. Two, you'll have to make concessions at running back if you do it because they're both gotten so expensive.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Steelers will be able to sustain a $9,100 and a $7,500 DraftKings wide receiver, like for the rest of the season? These prices for two wide receivers in the same team are like completely crazy, and they both pay these prices. Like, I just don't. At what point does that not become sustainable? Because we just haven't really seen this kind of thing happen for one team before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing I'm trying to figure out for this NFL season is, like, you know, I mentioned this ad nauseum all season long, but we have. Let me see how many guys it is right now. I just can't do this dirty math off the top of my head. But right now, I think there's three wide receivers that are on pace to break the all-time targets record in Thielen, Brown, and Schuster. That seems to me to be fairly obviously unsustainable. But Pittsburgh's been one of these teams, basically, since Heath Miller went away. That's just happy to not have the tight end thing going on. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah, whatever, dude. We got a running back. We got some wide receivers. Given that Connor's been somewhat ineffective, most of these passing plays have gone to Brown and Smith-Schuster, and opposing defenses have had a hard time with it. So there's really the only thing stopping teams from doing things like this in the past were just the teams themselves, right? Choosing not to. In football, you can just elect to keep passing to the same guys every single time. It's been interesting because you would think with two really highly targeted situations here that, you know, the forcing of the ball would be happening more to Juju than to Antonio Brown. But Brown's completion percentage or conversion percentage, I suppose, since he's not the one throwing it, has been terrible this season. 54%. Like, he's down in the kind of Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton of old, Amari Cooper sort of range. He's the lowest overall among the top targeted receivers. Well, Jarvis Landry's actually been lower. We could probably talk about him as well, but outside of Jarvis Landry, Brown has the worst conversion percentage of any receiver that has 30 or more targets this season. So that's enough of a red flag for me that I would probably not want to go all the way up on Antonio Brown, because I think a lot of people are going to be seeing they're going to be using a baseline assumption about his conversion percentage from previous seasons and applying that to this season's targets. And that just might not be the best way to handle it right now. I still think both these guys are totally viable plays, and I think you can run them. It's just a real question of, is this the week where you're going to pay up at wide receiver? You know, and I'm just not sure for cash games that it is. I mean, another guy you wrote up was Adam Thielen. What do you think about Thielen? He's been the very image of consistency this season, the most targeted receiver in the NFL, on pace to break the all-time record. He's had double-digit targets in every single game. He's had 100 yards or more in every single game. He's had a touchdown in two of his four games. What do we think of Thielen? 12 targets minimum on the season. 8,300, still not in that, probably the $9,000 range where we would have seen production like this land him in the past. Is he the GOAT this season? Is he the The guy who we need to play? What's going on
there? Yeah, so I'm going to say something that's going to go against some of our math on guys like Brown and Schuster. The reason I'd rather play Thielen here is that from a mental and emotional standpoint, I just hate choosing who's going to be the guy on a team in a given week, right? Like, and with,
well, Thielen has that own problem with Diggs.
Not as much. It doesn't seem like it's as big of a problem for some reason. Again, I'm speaking more about the DFS emotional mental piece, which can sometimes be irrational, and so I'm clear on that. The other reason I probably vote Thielen here is that he's just cheaper. Like, his target share is better than Brown's, and he's $1,400 cheaper on DraftKings, and he's $200 more than Smith-Schuster. So I don't love his matchup as much, and I think that these targets are just there to stay. I think that that's just like the fact that they have Diggs there just makes it easier for him to be still the most targeted guy from Cousins. I'd like Cousins has shown is like, this is my guy kind of this year, and I'm just going to keep doing this. The price helps him here. He's just, the targets are just completely crazy, man. I like 14 targets a game or whatever he's averaging. It's just like, these numbers are just, I know we are broken freaking records on this stupid stat with the targets, but it's just so outside of the norm that when you look at, I'm just going to Thielen real quick here. Thielen, 14 target average, 12.5 target median. So we have him for less than his median target and way less than his average targets, and he's still a pretty easy play. I have Diggs at 11 targets. He's been 11 target average, 11.5 target median. That is not as high as what we saw with Juju and Brown. Yeah, I think it's good. The matchup against Philly is not as good. Minnesota's defense hasn't really been that good this year. Teams have been able to score. That's increased the amount of plays per game that the Vikings have been able to run. I don't know if at some point the defense maybe starts to lock it down a little bit more. Philly's offense is decent. I still think they're going to, it's not quite the shootout that we're looking at in terms of Pittsburgh. That's the only other thing that's keeping it close. I think I'd probably, from a cash game perspective, roll Thielen. And again, it's pretty close. Now, you wrote up a couple of these other cheaper wide receiver plays. You wrote up Allison. You talked about him. Corey Davis had a huge game. I mean, Rishard Matthews just randomly retired. Do you see Davis is...
Makes sense.
Well, that's just kind of a theme this year. He retired. What's his name? Oh, the guy from the Bills. I can't remember his name now. It'll come to me while I'm talking. He just retired. Vontae Davis. He retired at halftime. Sometimes I get worried about these like one-week huge target samples. Do you see that as a case for Davis here, or do you think there's enough of a track record on him that he is like a sustainable cash game play going forward for Tennessee?
Well, okay, so a couple things with Davis. He did have a bellyache, missed Wednesday's practice, currently listed as questionable, so we'll see where that goes. But yeah, I mean, he did have the big breakout 15 target week. He did disappear completely against a really, really tough matchup at Jacksonville. And prior to that, 7 targets at Houston, 13 at Miami. I think he's entering the conversation. Like, he's obviously not quite on the same level as the other guys that we've listed, but you can't spend $8,500 on every single player on FanDuel. Like, that's just not how it works. So you're going to have to take some risks from week to week. And I think Davis is a very reasonable one. He's one target shy of being off of the 10 target a game threshold for this season. And while, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of those targets were concentrated in last week's 15 target performance, that game could have been even bigger. I don't know if you saw, but Mariota missed him on a deep ball. He could have been pushing past 200 yards in this game. And so the fact that he's got that kind of game in him, like, one way I like to think about this a lot of times is, you know, what am I getting on the upside for the price I'm paying, right? And if you tell me that there's a guy with two of his four games have had 13 targets and 15 targets and he's $6,400, I'm just listening. Sure, that guy can disappear from time to time. And yeah, like, you'd prefer that not be the week that you play him in cash. But the other guys at the $6,400 price range, like, you know, Sammy Watkins, Michael Crabtree, Larry Fitzgerald, like, you're just not seeing a lot of guys that have anything remotely close to that level of upside. Perhaps Tyler Boyd is in that discussion. Boyd is in a similar price range. He also had 15 targets last week. I think people will perceive him. People are going to be higher on Boyd because he's been played more in cash because he was so absurdly cheap. But his track record is actually nearly identical to Corey Davis's. He actually has fewer targets on the season. Probably better quarterback play, but yeah, so there's decent amount of value still in the mid-range. And this is what I was saying earlier about why I think I feel comfortable paying up at running back, because I feel, for me, that my running back disappearing on me and getting, you know, 11 carries for 41 yards or whatever, like the TJ Yeldons of the world absolutely have in them, I just feel more concerned about that than I do about some of these mid-range wide receivers. And I think for that reason, I'm going to be you know, this group will shake itself out as the week goes along, as, you know, injury situations clarify themselves. Like Indianapolis is another one that we'll want to keep an eye on. But as these injury situations come to light, the Green Bays, the Indies, even Atlanta on some level with Mohamed Sanu, as these things shake out, we're going to find, I just have great confidence that we're going to find mid-range value at wide receiver, and I don't have anything near that confidence at running
back. Yeah, that makes sense. On a DraftKings, one other guy that I probably would have maybe kind of was kind of close to the write-up for me was Anunua. I know that he has not been good the last 2 weeks, but he had just terrible matchup against Jacksonville and a tough matchup against a Cleveland defense that has been by and large better this year. The price, his target share in terms of just overall target percentages coming from Darnold is still there. Like, he was still the 25% of the targets last week against Jacksonville. They didn't totally get there, but we saw that he can command double-digit targets. Denver's defense is below average this season. They're not the old, you know, Tlaib, shutdown cornerback kind of stuff that they were, Harris and Tlaib, kind of thing they were bringing before, and that really wouldn't have mattered as much for Anunua lining up in the slot. So I could talk myself into him. I think we're kind of buying low on him. He was close to a cash game right up for me, more on DraftKings, where he's just still stuck in that like mid $5,000 range. I guess he will see more Harris in the slot. I take that back. I forgot that's where he lines up. Okay, anyway, tight end. Tight end sucks. I don't know what we're, can we just like get rid of tight end like we got rid of the kicker? I don't know.
I was actually, that's so funny. I had that exact same thought as I was like waiting breathlessly for Eric Ebron to score a touchdown. And it felt exactly the same way it would feel when like your kicker would kick a 50-yard field goal where you're like, okay, I get that I get the 5 points, but like, I can't feel proud of that.
Just do what FanDuel do with baseball and get rid of the catcher. Like, just stop rostering the Mike Zaninos of the world who are batting ninth. You know, like,
right. Just lump them in with wide receivers. Just say, hey, you want to play a tight end? Do work.
Yeah, you can keep them the same price, but just don't make me play one of these guys. Like, there might be
I feel like my consent hasn't been considered, and I don't appreciate.
Oh boy, it, so. Getting deep into the social fabric here. Okay, so the we talked about Graham. Do you think Graham with the? Do you think he? The targets like still kind of like aren't totally there for him. Like they're down in the red zone. He only had 6 targets last week in a week where they're already pretty thin at wide receiver. Do you think if Allison and Cobb were both out, do you think Graham does become the guy, or do you think that it's just not in? Like, he's a down and close kind of receiver because he's a big body and you can kind of do jump balls to him. But I mean, over like when they're trying to move down the field, do you see Graham as that kind of option? Like, I'm not sure I totally do, and I just don't know where these Green Bay targets are going.
Yeah, I mean, and Graham had a history of scoring touchdowns against Buffalo. So,
channeling.
Shout out to all of our DFSR premium chatters. They'll get that one. So we had to ban someone from chat this week for obsessing over the fact that Jimmy Graham had scored touchdowns against Buffalo. But yeah, I mean, so Graham, yes, he's a big target down low. He's also an old man. Yeah. And, you know, it's always tricky paying up for, and you're not paying up that much, right? He's 6,100, but it's always tricky when you just insert these old guys. He's missing practices this week with a knee injury apparently as well. So I can't get too excited about Jimmy Graham, but like, who can I get
too
excited about?
That's what I mean. This list of guys.
My real question, I still maintain that, you know, you're getting a totally different level of safety out of Ertz and Kelsey, but we're back in the old, you just can't get the most expensive guy at every position category. The other guy you wrote up was Jared Cook. I mean, as I looked at Jared Cook's game log, it's not dissimilar to the guy I just proclaimed the virtues of in Corey Davis. 2 big target weeks, 2 weeks where he was sort of absent. He seems to be a very efficient target for the Raiders right now. He's still sub 6,000. Do you think he's the tight end chalk this week?
Ugh, I don't know. Probably.
Who else is? That's my other question.
I mean, right. Well, it's funny, the nature of the tight end position. Like right now, if you run FanDuel lineups on our site, Vance McDonald comes in the top lineup. It's not because we haven't projected for any points. It's just because he's 4,600. That's really, because I looked, I was like, Vance McDonald, what do we even have? Why have him for like 4.5 targets or something like that? Like, it's like not even a real number, but it's like, which is the cheapest loser we can?
Vance McDonald unlocked for five targets a game.
Right. So like, who's the cheapest loser we can put in a tight end to get all the other positions? Because the guys who have
Vance McDonald doesn't hear you say that, dude. This guy's got a neck thicker than your waist.
I'm just banging my desk now. I'm laughing. All right. Because like, obviously, Ertz and Kelsey, we have projected for so many more points than anybody else. Like, I don't know. This looks like almost 50% more points than the next highest guy. Yeah, sure. And it's just that they're just too expensive at 77 and 7,500. Because you'd much rather play receivers in that range. And so I think that's what the math is trying to do, is like 4,600 for Vance McDonald. Let's just get out of here cheap and just go to bed and call it a day, you know, because that's the same thing sort of on DraftKings where, I mean, luckily Graham's only 4,700 over there. Cook is right around the same price. I think you can, at least on DraftKings, you can make a case for Njoku, who has seen targets. He's only 3,400. I think it was good to see a decent amount of targets out of him with Baker on the field. And I think that's something that we could still stand to go up if he ends up becoming sort of the wide receiver two option, especially if Callaway is absent out. I know he's a tight end, but that'd be a situation where I could get out of there pretty cheap. I don't know. I just want tight end to stop. I don't like it. I saw someone, who was it? It might have been John Paulson from Twitter, or from 444. But he was saying something about like pouring himself just a lot of drinks before he ranked his tight ends for this week. And that's kind of just fits the theme. It's like, yeah, just like get wasted and try to figure out where these guys stand. Because after you get rid of Ertz and Kelsey, it's just a hodgepodge of guys who stink or just don't get targeted on a week-to-week basis. Because most smart teams are like, what are you, crazy? Why would we throw to the tight end? These guys are the slowest guy in the field. Just get another wide receiver out there to run down the field. So anyway, I think that's kind of sums up. That kind of sums up my feeling on tight end. The couple of defenses I threw out there, Titans have been very, very good on defense this year. They play the Bills. I think that we could see that become the chalk, mostly because of the just how bad the Bills are. I don't mind the 49ers coming pretty cheap against the Cardinals. Cardinals offense obviously really can't get anything done. 49ers defense, not all that good, but only 3,000 on DraftKings. I can kind of talk myself into it. The Eagles are there because they're cheap, but and the Vikings offense makes me a little bit worried. I'm just talking about some of the plays. I mean, obviously, look, the sites are pretty good about saying the matchups really matter in the NFL at this point. Like the Panthers are very expensive. The Rams are pretty expensive because their matchups are so good. I'm not sure you need to pay up for defense. Anyway, we'll go through more of this on the game by game breakdown when we go Megapod style. Probably we'll go 40 minutes today too. So tomorrow we'll just really get into it. There are a lot of guys we can talk about pretty much at length. All right, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com/deals gets you the podcast listener that podcast only $24.95 a month. A package includes all the stuff that we include in our premium subscription, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, every sport except for hockey. That's about a week away, we think. And then a premium chat, premium articles, all the stuff that you really need to get yourself started and keep winning on FanDuel and DraftKings. DFSR.com/deals will get you started. Buddy, tomorrow we break it all down game by game. Tons of stuff to talk about for week 5.
Can't wait to.